The seventh and last chapter of Hilchis Deis of the Rambam. This chapter is dedicated to gossip, Lashon Hara, taking revenge, and harboring grudges. Let's get right into it. Perek Shvi, Halacha Aleph. Hameragel Bechaveiroi. Somebody who collects information about a friend, about a colleague. Oiver Beloisese violates a Torah prohibition, Shenemar. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim, Loiselech Rachel Ba'amecha. You should not walk around spreading gossip among your nation. Va'afel Pishen Loiken Alavze, even though one does not receive lashes for this prohibition because it does not involve concrete physical action, it's only words. Nonetheless, don't take it lightly. Avoin gadol hu. This is a gigantic and enormous sin. V'goyim la'arig nefashis rabbis miYisrael. It can cause the murder of many souls among Jews. L'kach nismach lo'y l'samad adam reyacha. And that's why in the same pasuk the Torah says, do not stand and see the blood of your friend. The two things are connected. By walking around and spreading gossip around among our people, we actually can cause the bloodshed of our fellow Jews. Really? How could you say such a thing? What does gossip have to do with violence? Says the Rambam. Go and learn from what happened in the story of Doeg the Edomite. This is a story that occurs in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph. Basically, David was a son-in-law of Shaul. Shaul was the king, but he had very ill feelings to David and wanted to kill him. David was a fugitive, and he came to the city of Noiv, and the Kohen there was a man named Achimelech, and Achimelech greeted David warmly, and he gave him food, bread, he gave him even the sword of Goliath, and David went on his way. Shaul heard from Doeg HaDoimi, Doeg, who was one of his servants and advisors, tells Shaul what Achimelech did for David. Achimelech is summoned to the king, and Shaul said, what do you do? And Achimelech tells him the whole story, and he's actually boasting about it. He's so proud of it. He's saying, who is as loyal to the king as his son-in-law David? And therefore, I wanted to help him. I felt that it was a privilege and a mitzvah to help him. And tragically, Shaul not only murders Achimelech, but he has all of the Kohanim, 85 Kohanim murdered, and the city of Noiv destroyed. All because of this gossip of Doeg HaDoimi. So the Rambam says, when we come to somebody and we start telling him stories about what somebody else did, that's going to make him feel that this person was out to harm him and out to destroy him, you never know how much destructiveness you can bring to the world. Ezeh Racha, what does this mean? Halacha Beis. What does gossip mean? Zesho Toyen Dvarim, somebody who collects words, he collects items, like a peddler. The word Roichel is actually a peddler. What's a peddler? A peddler is somebody, I find an item here and I bring it to you. So this is a verbal peddler. I collect words from this one. V'hoylech mizelezeh, he goes from one person to another person. V'hoymen, he says, kach v'kach amar ployni. So and so said this about you. Kach v'kach shemati al ployni, or so and so, I heard that he said about you or he did to you. Either I tell you what I heard from this person, he said this and this about you, or I heard about him that he said this about you or that he did this to you. V'afal pisho eir me'emes. I may be actually saying the truth. Hareza machriv asa'ilam. I actually can destroy the world. We're not talking about slandering. We're not talking about somebody who created lies. I'm actually telling you the truth. This person said this about you. Or this person did this and this to you. Or this person said something or did this which has some effect on you. Like in the story of Doeg. And furthermore, as the Rambam point, as we see from the Rambam very clearly, even if the person didn't do something bad. Achimelech didn't do anything bad. He gave David HaMelech food. In fact, he himself not only confessed to the king Shaul that he did it, but he was proud of it. In his mind, it was a mitzvah. So I'm not saying over something bad that the other person did. From the other person's perspective, he may have done a very righteous thing. And it's true. So you could say, what's the big deal? I'm just giving over facts. So the Rambam says, but because you're giving over information to somebody, that in his mind it can be interpreted as something negative and something malicious and something destructive and something evil, and it can create animosity, it can create anxiety, it can create contentiousness, it can create fragmentation, divisiveness, discord, and animosity. This is an absolute prohibition in the Torah, even if you did not exaggerate and you did not say anything untrue. And the person himself would be proud of what he did. In other words, you did not say that he did evil. You just told facts about what he did. This is called rechilus. It's a prohibition in the Torah. And the Rambam says, it's a great sin. Yesh avin gadol mizeh ad ma'od is yet even a greater sin. Even more serious, and it's included in this prohibition of leseichel rachel ba'mecha v'hu lashon hara, and this is lashon hara, which literally means evil language. V'hu amesaper bignus chaveira, and this is somebody who speaks of the shameful or disgraceful or immoral act that his friend did. Again, afal pi shamar emes, even though it's true. Here, I'm not only saying something that he said or something that he did, which is not inherently evil, it can just be perceived that way and cause animosity. But I actually say to somebody else, I tell a story about something bad that somebody said or somebody did or somebody was involved in, even if it doesn't affect the person who's listening. Just saying over an evil story about another person, even if it's a true story, this is a prohibition in Torah, which the Rambam says is even a greater sin. Avaloimer sheker. Somebody who invents lies, Maitzi Shemra al Chaveira. This is a completely different sin. This is called Maitzi Shemra. Maitzi Shemra means I am slandering somebody. It's character assassination with giving a bad name for him, and it's not true. And then the Rambam adds, Aval Ba Lashon Hara, but a Ba Lashon Hara, a master, an owner of Lashon Hara, Zeshe Yoshe V'Omer, is somebody who sits and he says, Kach V'Kach HaSaploini, so and so. He did, or v'kach v'kach hayu avoysav. And let me tell you about his parents. His parents were of this nature and that nature. V'kach v'kach shemati alav. And this is what I heard about him. V'omer dvarim shel gnai. He basically speaks words of disgrace about this individual. Al zeh hakasav v'omer. On this person, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yachris Hashem kol sifsei chalokis loshem adaber zgdailus. Hashem should cut off these lips that speak smoothly and negatively, a tongue that is full of pride and arrogance. So the Rambam, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, really articulated here four categories of people. Category number one is Rechilus, somebody who shares stories with people about other things, about things that other people said about them, even if it's true and even if it's not inherently bad things that they did, but it can have a negative effect, which means I'm telling you a story about what I heard from somebody about you or what somebody did to you or what somebody said about you or what I heard that somebody said about you or what I heard that somebody did that can have an effect on you, and it can have any negative repercussions. This is the prohibition of Rechilus. And you can destroy the world. The next step is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is I share a negative story about somebody who did something bad. Again, it may be the person who I'm sharing it with, it's not relevant to him. That's even a bigger sin, it's called Lashon Hara. The third sin is Maitzi Shemra. I invent a lie about somebody. I literally say something that never happened, or I exaggerate a story in something that never happened. And the fourth category is a Baal Lashon Hara. Baal Lashon Hara is an owner of Lashon Hara, a master of Lashon Hara. This is somebody, the Rambam says, he sits. Why do you say he sits? And if he stands, he sits means this is like his vocation. This is his career. He sits. Some people, they say Lashon Hara once in a while. A Baal Lashon Hara is, this is what he does permanently. He speaks about the person and he speaks about his parents. He analyzes him. He has a file on him about him and his ancestry and what he did before the war and what happened after the war and what I heard about him. This is called a Baal Lashon Hara. And on this, there's a very powerful pasuk that Hashem should cut down such lips. Gimel. Amru Chachamim, the sages said, "Al shalish avedus nefrayim in adam by lamazavein lechelik lelam haba." There are three sins for which they punish a person in this world, and because of them, he forfeits his part in the world to come. Avedazara gilarayis hushvichis damim, idolatry, adultery, and murder. V'lashon hara keneged kulam, and the sin of lashon hara, of speaking ill speech about somebody else, telling bad stories about somebody, bad things that he did, is equivalent to all of them. Which means that Lashon Hara has in it an element of murder, and has in it an element of adultery, and it has in it an element of idolatry. For Oid Amru Chachamim, the sages further said, and perhaps the Rambam is explaining why it has in it an element of idolatry. I can understand why it has in it an element of murder. I can understand that. You're murdering the person in one form or another. You're defaming the person. You may be destroying the person's life. I can understand the concept of adultery. You're crossing boundaries. You're interfering into somebody's life. What's the connection to idolatry? I think that's why the Rambam continues. Va'oidam rechacham, the sages further said, kol masaper b'lashon hara kilu kafar be'ikar. Somebody who speaks lashon hara, it's like he's denying Hashem's existence. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Tehillim Yud Beis, asher amru, they said, l'lishayneinu nagbir, our tongues will prevail, sfaseinu itanu, our lips are ours, mi adon lanu, who is a lord over us? Meaning, our tongues are free, uninhibited. Our lips are ours, right? They will prevail. Nobody is a lord over us. We could say whatever we want to say. There's absolutely no zipper that I have to put on my lips. The Rambam says this is a form of kaifer be'ikr, of denying Hashem's existence. And one of the explanations may be that somebody who's really aware of the divine presence will not speak lashon hara, will not say a bad story about what another person did. We're not talking a situation where you have, I have to emphasize this, you have a criminal and you're trying to warn people from this criminal. Then, on the contrary, if you don't protest it and you don't talk about it, you may be an accomplice of evil. We're not talking about a situation where you have to share with somebody a story in order to help the human being or to help somebody else who may be affected. We're talking about lashon hara, where you come to a person and there's absolutely no benefit. I just want to share with you a good, juicy story about something bad this person did, whether it affects you or it doesn't affect you. That is called lashon hara. If I am really aware of the divine, I would not do that. Because if somebody really has an awareness of Hashem, you know that Hashem's imprint is in every single human being. Every single human being is carved in the image of God. So denigrating a person and talking about the bad things that he has done or that he said is really a denigration of God, who is manifested in this person. Every soul is a piece of God. Every person, Atam Edai, every person is a witness of Hashem. So if I was really, really aware of the divine reality right here, right now, and aware that every single human being is a manifestation of Hashem's light, how do I have the audacity? How can I use my time and my energy and my koiches and my power of speech to do what with it? Instead of bringing light to the world, what am I doing? I'm denigrating and embarrassing and humiliating a person by saying something bad that he did. If I am doing it, the Rambam says at that moment, I am like Kaifer Beikar, I'm like denying Hashem's existence. This is one of the interpretations. There are many others, maybe in the question and answer segment that we do in a separate video on the yeshiva.net. I'll give you another interpretation of the Maharal, the Shem Yishmuel. It's a very interesting concept, why Lashon Hara is like Kaifer Beikar. Says the Rambam, Va'oidam Rechachom, and the sages further said, Shloisha Lashon Hara Hireges. There are three people that Lashon Hara kills. Ha'aymre, the one who says it. Ha'mekabloi, the one who hears it, who receives it. V'zeh Sha'aymre Malof, and the one about whom it said. V'ha'mekabloi Yasem Me'aymre. And the one who receives the Lashon Hara, it's more stringent than the one who says the Lashon Hara, which is fascinating. The fact that Lashon Hara kills three people, says in Gemara, Erkin Daf Tesvav, the Rambam quotes it from there. But here the Rambam adds that the one who receives Lashon Hara, the one who, the audience, is worse than the communicator. And perhaps the reason for this is, the Marshal says this, I'm just going to explain it in my words, the way I understand it is, because a communicator who doesn't have an audience is meaningless. If I come to you and I say, oh, I have this great story about this person, you won't believe what happened and what he did, and you say, you know what, this is not what I want to talk about, this is really not where I want to spend my time, that's not why I met you, what happens? You put a needle in the balloon, right? You puncture the balloon, and all the energy and all the juice is completely depleted. What gives a communicator his power is that there's somebody who absorbs it, there's somebody who receives it. There's no mashpia without a mekabel. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, okay, comes with Lashon Hara, but the Mekabel, the one who absorbs it, is the one who really consolidates it, is the one who empowers the speaker and gives him the validity and the dignity that this message has significance. So by listening to it and by absorbing it, in a way I validate it and I consolidate it because I give it a place where it can be absorbed. So the Rambam says, in a way, the Mekabel is worse than the Omer. Why does Lashon Hara kill three people? It kills the one who says the Lashon Hara. It kills the one who listens to the Lashon Hara. And the Rambam says it also affects the one about whom is said. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe once shared a very powerful idea based on the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. And that is that words have the power to bring out things from a state of potentiality to a state of actualization. When I say Lashon Hara about somebody, or I listen to Lashon Hara about somebody, what happens is that person may have a negative challenge inside of them, and that's why they said what they said or they did what they did. The fact that I now talk about it actually brings it out more in the open. It may have been dormant, it may be repressed, it may be hidden somewhere, but by talking about it, I accentuate it and I reveal it. And therefore, it affects the person about whom I say the Lashon Hara. That's why Chazal say, La'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. Talking about something, bringing it out verbally and articulating it with words gives it a concrete manifestation in the world. Our words have very real power. Our words have significant power, even if the person is not here. And merubim midat tova, the same is true in the positive. When I speak positively about somebody, there may be a trait in him or a quality in him that is dormant, that is latent, that he himself is unaware of. But by me talking about it, I concretize it. I give it expression. I give it external expression in the real world. And that actually helps this person consciously or subconsciously see it in themselves. It's one of the explanations why the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Hayamoyne Shvachim. He would praise, he would count the praises of five of his students. It wasn't just he complimented them, you know, he said, Chevre, you're good guys, you're a Mayanam Mizgabi, you're a Boiser Chenim and Abitipa. It's much more than that. By counting their praises, by articulating their praises, he helped them see their own praises. He helped them believe in themselves the way he believed in them. He brought out verbally and in a very real way a narrative about them, a story about them that brought out the best in them. And the same is true, of course, in the negative. Dalad, V'yesham dvarim shem avak lashon hara. There are things that are called the dust of lashon hara, meaning they are a derivative of lashon hara. It's not the substance and the essence of lashon hara, but it's the dust of lashon hara. Ketzat. Somebody says, "Mi yomer leploini shiyekamay shawata." Who would believe about Chaim Yankel that he would become the person he is today? Who would believe that this is the type of person he would be today? Or shayomer shayor, he says, "Shisku miploini niroitzi ladia ma'ira mahaya." Let's not talk about X, Y, Z. Let's not talk about Shmuel. You know what? I don't want to really talk about what happened with him and what happened during those events yesterday. I mean, any similar expression. I didn't say Lashon Hara. I didn't say anything. In fact, maybe it can even be interpreted positively. Who would believe that he would be doing this today? Maybe I meant, wow, he's so great. But it can also have a very negative connotation. Or, I don't want to talk about what happened yesterday. Let's not get into it. I didn't say anything, but this is called avak lashon hara. This is called the dust of lashon hara. The Chafetz Chaim says, if somebody says, I have lashon hara about him, but I don't want to say the lashon hara about him, the Chafetz Chaim says, that's not avak lashon hara. Chafetz Chaim and lashon hara klal tes, he says, that's mamish lashon hara. Because that's clearly saying that this person is a disgraceful, abominable person. He did something bad. I just don't want to tell you what he did. Rather, this is talking about a situation where, you know, it's a little ambivalent. It's a little ambiguous. You could say, oh, I don't want to talk about what he did. Maybe he did something amazing, but I can't talk about it. It's confidential. So this is called the dust of lashon hara. V'chein, another scenario is a mesaper b'toivas chaveiroi b'fnei soinov. If somebody speaks favorably about his friend in front of his enemies, harei zavak lashon hara. This is the dust of lashon hara. You know why? She's a goyim lam sheisaper b'gnusay. You know very well that the result of this is that they're going to be speaking disgracefully about him, because if I'm standing in front of somebody's enemies and I start saying nice things about him, it's inevitable that one of them is going to say, whoa, let's put it in context. Let's remember what he did last week, last year, last month, remember what he did to this. Let's remember this. And 1 second, you think he did it without ulterior motives. He's gaining this and he's gaining that. In other words, you're not saying Lashon Hara. You're actually saying something very positive about another Jew. That's wonderful. It's Avos Yisrael. No, it's the dust of Lashon Hara. Because by saying it right here in front of these people, what's going to be the result? The result is going to be, we're going to start defaming him. V'alinyan Zomar Shloima. On this theme, Shloima said in Mishlei chapter 27, Mevarech Re'eyu B'Koil Gadol B'Boiker Hashkem Klolo Techashav Lai. Sometimes you could be blessing and welcoming your friend in a loud voice every single morning, but essentially your blessing is considered a curse. Because by speaking about his good, you're inevitably creating the path for him to be denigrated and disgraced and humiliated. Another scenario. Somebody speaks Lashon Hara about another Jew, but he does it in a cynical way, in a way of jesting and frivolousness and mocking. In other words, there's no animosity. It's not like, do you know what this guy did? He's such a horrible, horrible person. No, he's making a joke. It's almost in a light-headed way. So if so, it's not really like Lashon Hara. You're just saying facts that are negative, but there seems to be no hatred and no animosity. This too, the Rambam says, is forbidden. Hu sheshloima omer b'chachmasai. This is what Shloima says in his wisdom. Mishlei, chapter 26. K'mislaleya hayoyre zikim chitzim amavez v'amar halay mesachikani. It's like a person who's cynically mocking his friend, and he's shooting at him. He's shooting firebrands, arrows, death. But he says, oh, I'm just making a joke. It's interesting that here the Rambam says, Shloima omer b'chachmasai. A few lines ago, he also quoted Shloima, also Mishlei, the next chapter, Perek Chavzayim, but he said Shloima. Here it's Shloima b'chachmasai. And the reason is because a chacham, ezel chacham arayas hanaylad, a chacham is somebody who sees the future. The fact that you're just making a joke, and you're speaking in jest and frivolousness, but the fact that you're defaming another human being is ultimately like shooting an arrow into his chest. It may not happen right now. Now you're just joking around, but that's what you're doing. That's the results. So Shloima Amar b'chachmasai, ezel chacham arayas hanaylad. It's interesting, in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam quotes a lot Shloima HaMelech, for obvious reasons, and nonetheless, sometimes he uses the word chachmasai, and sometimes it's just Shloima. And it's fascinating to distinguish each time what's the reason why he says sometimes b'chachmasai. Chein ha-masav b'lashon hara derech hamiyu. Similarly, somebody who speaks lashon hara in a sly fashion, v'hu sheyisaper l'tumay. He makes himself, you know, dumb and naive. It's as though he doesn't know this Lashon Hara. Alek Shem Machin Boy, when you protest against it, I mean, he says, oh, any idea she lo myself shall ploini. I don't know that these are his deeds. I should have a Lashon Hara, or this is Lashon Hara. So, for example, somebody says, you know, somebody who does so and so and so and so and so and so, and he enumerates a whole list, is really disgusting and horrible. And then he says, oh, are you talking about him? He says, oh, how am I supposed to know it's him? So, I'm talking about somebody, but I fail to mention a name. So, this is a sly way of communicating Lashon Hara. Right. Another example is the Kesef Mishnah brings you Yerushalmi Meseches Peah, that there was a group of people that the Roman legions forced these Jews to come to work and do some work for the Roman governor. And one of their friends, his name was Yochanan, and one day he managed to get out of his duty and he didn't show up at work. One of the Jews got very jealous and envious. You know, I had come to work and he didn't come. So what does he say? He tells to the other Chevra, shouldn't we go visit today Yochanan? Let's go visit our friend Yochanan. Oh, suddenly when the guards heard the name Yochanan, where is he, where is he? And they found that he wasn't there. This is a classic example where I'm not saying Lashon Hara. I'm not saying something bad about somebody. On the contrary, I'm saying let's go visit him. But it's a sly fashion to get his name mentioned. Once his name is mentioned, we can manipulate it and ultimately come to Lashon Hara. So this is a very interesting example. Sometimes people will mention somebody's name, and it's very sly because I'm not trying to say Lashon Hara. I'm actually saying, oh, I didn't get a call from him in a long time. Or where do you think he is? And then right away the conversation spirals to talking negatively about him and sharing negative tidbits, sound bites, vignettes, or stories about him. This is sly Lashon Hara. Says the Rambam Alachehe. No difference if you tell Lashon Hara in the presence of the person you're talking about or not in his presence. The Rambam holds that Lashon Hara is not only if the person is not there, even if he's present. So you could say, it's not Lashon Hara, he's right here, I'm confronting him, it's also Lashon Hara. You know why? If you really want to help him, we learned in Perek Vav, you speak to him privately, confidentially, face to face in a nice way, and you reprimand him for what he did. Why is it somebody else's business about what he did? This is Lashon Hara, no matter he's here, no matter he's not here. Let's say I tell over a story, or I tell over some words that are not Lashon Hara. I'm not speaking bad about the person. And I'm not telling the person something that he said about you, which is Rechilus, that can create problems. I'm just telling something about a story. I'm telling a story about somebody, something he said, let's say. But the cause is that if this story travels from person to person to person, ultimately, the original person could be harmed, either with his body, he can be hurt, or financial loss, he may incur financial loss, or it may cause somebody to distress him, or it may bring him terror, panic, dread. It may bring fear to his life. This is Lashon Hara. The classic example for this is The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, the Kesef Mishnah points to this Gemara, and that is, Reb Shimon ben Yochai was talking to a few friends, two of his friends, and he spoke about how egotistical and narcissistic the Romans are. All the markets that they built and all the pathways that they built and all the bridges they constructed, it was only for their own self-centered purposes. Yehuda ben Gerim overheard Reb Shimon ben Yochai say this, and he shared this with his students. He didn't mean to hurt Reb Shimon ben Yochai. He actually wasn't saying something bad about Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai was denigrating the Romans. Okay, he was right. I don't have to be scared to say it in 2020. So he didn't mean to harm him. He said something true, and he was just telling over a story. However, what happens at the end? The story travels. It reaches the Romans, and Reb Shimon ben Yochai now has to run away and hide out in a cave together with his son Reb Elazar for 12 years, and then another year. And Yehuda ben Gerim is punished. So what do we see from here? We see, this was not classic Lashon Hara, but when you tell a story and you know that ultimately, if this story travels, and you're telling it over, so it's going to travel, and as a result of that, the person is going to suffer financial loss, or may be harmed physically, or may be killed, or may be beaten, or may just be frightened as a result. Somebody's going to frighten him. Or the person may be distressed. You're not allowed to do it. V'imnemru dvarim elu b'fnei shloisha. And what happens if these words, this story was said in front of three people? Kfar nishma hadava v'noida. Then it's obvious that the story was known already. If three people already heard this insight or this perspective or this statement, this story is known, v'im siper hadavar echad min ashloisha. And if one of the three goes over and says it over, pam acheres another time, ein bo lashon hara. You cannot say that this is lashon hara. V'hu shelo yiskaven lahavir akel legalos yoyser. As long with the condition that his intention is not to spread the rumor even more. It's just the topic came up, so he communicated it. But if he actually has intention to spread it further, knowing that this is something that's sensitive material, or it's potentially sensitive material, and can cause him harm, then it's absolutely forbidden. When you see these words of the Rambam, it's important to note what the Rambam is saying here. Some people think that the Rambam is saying that if three people know a bad story about somebody, so then one of them could go and say it over. That's not what the Rambam is saying. That's forbidden according to the Rambam. The Rambam is saying it's a continuation to before. If somebody tells a story about somebody else, and that story is not bad by nature, the person didn't do anything wrong, but you know that it could cause him harm if it continues to travel, so you're never allowed to say over that story. So the Rambam says, if this story was already said in front of three people, it wasn't your choice. It was already said in front of three people. Whether the person himself, like if Reb Shimon ben Yochai would have said it in front of three people, or somebody else said it, but it was said in front of three people. And it could be that the one who said it in front of three people was doing the wrong thing, because it's Lashon Hara. But the bottom line, it was said in front of three people, so it's already publicized. If it's already publicized, so the Rambam says, somebody who says it over is not committing the sin of Lashon Hara, but if his intention is to spread it further, then it is Lashon Hara. Halacha vav, kol elu heim bali lashon hara shasur lado b'shchemasim. All these people that we spoke about are bali lashon hara. They are owners, masters of lashon hara. You're not allowed to live in their neighborhood. V'kol shekein leishiv imam v'lishmaya divrem. Certainly, you're not allowed to sit with them and listen to their words. You're not allowed to. If somebody is behaving this way, you have a Torah obligation to say, "I'm sorry, I gotta go. This conversation is not for me. I don't have energy for this. This is not how I live." And you have to get up. And you know, sometimes it's difficult because, you know, you want to be social. You want to please. You want to flatter people. But this is the mitzvah. This is v'lo nechtam gzar din al aveseinu b'midbar ella al lashon hara b'lvad. This is how the Rambam completes the halachas of lashon hara. The decree on our forefathers to remain in the desert for 40 years and to die in the desert was not sealed only because of the sin of lashon hara. What does he mean? Moshe Rabbeinu sends 12 spies to scrutinize and survey Eretz Yisrael. When they come back, they communicate lashon hara, gossip and slander, and a lot of evil talk about the land, and the nation accepts it, and because of this, they die in the desert. The Rambam says there may have been other sins, but this is what really sealed it. Now, it's fascinating. What type of lashon hara was this? They didn't speak lashon hara about people. They spoke about the land. They said it's flowing with milk and honey. However, the cities are fortified and it's filled with giants and mighty empires, and we won't be able to defeat them, and we won't be able to conquer them. And Eretz Achelas Yoshveh, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants. Where's the Lashon Hara here? They're talking about facts about the country that basically it's impenetrable. We won't be able to conquer it. And even if we get in, we're going to die there. So the Gemara says in Erkin Daf Tesvav, that from here you learn there could be Lashon Hara al Eitzim v'al Avonim, on trees and on stones. And if even that is so bad, you can imagine Lashon Hara on people. And perhaps what the Rambam is really intimating to us is what Lashon Hara means. Lashon Hara really means looking at the world and seeing the bad. And if you really believe in God and Hashem's presence, and you know that this world is Hashem's world, you look at the world and you see the good. You look at a tree and you see the good. You look at a wall, you look at a rock and you see the good. You look at a mountain and you see the good. Of course there can be challenges and formidable challenges in the world. But generally, your Weltanschauung, the lenses with which you view the world, are positive lenses. They're not toxic, negative lenses full of negativity. And that's the connection here, because when that's back to the Kaifa Be'ikr, when I perceive the reality of Hashem as a real thing, so then I'm looking to accentuate the good in everybody and in everything. I'm looking to bring out the good. A person may have done something bad, and I have to figure out how I can help them repair it. Do I talk to them? Do I talk to a friend who can help? Do I confront them? Do I write them a letter? There's ways of how I can repair it. But I am an ambassador of love to the world. That's who I am. I am an emissary of Hashem to bring out the godliness in a person in the world. Why am I using my energy and my time and my space? And the only thing I can come back with is saying how bad everything is, how evil everything is. This is a fascinating, fascinating approach to life, of course. Halacha Zayin. Hanoikim es chaveder, somebody who takes revenge from his friend. Oiver b'loy sasa, he violates a prohibition in Torah. Shenema, the pasuk says in Kedoshim, loy sikaim, do not take revenge. Afal pishenei loike, even though there's no corporal punishment, there's no lashes, because it's not something that I do in a concrete physical fashion. As the Rambam is going to discuss, it's only about words, so there's no malchus for words. Das rohi ad ma'od. You should know that it's a terrible and devastating character trait. It's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible disposition to cultivate. El roi la'odam lius maver al kol divrei ha'olam. It's appropriate for a person to forgo, to overlook all matters that are connected to this world, shakol etzel hamavinim divrei hevel v'havoi, because by those who have perceptiveness, by those who really understand reality, all these things are vanity and meaningless. Ve'enam kedai linkam aleihem, they're not worthy for you to take revenge. Don't stoop down to the person who you felt did something wrong to you. Stoop down to their level and allow your energy and your soul and your imagination to now be occupied and busy with taking revenge. What is the Rambam saying? If you're a maven, if you have sensitivity, if you have real awareness, you have to be able to tell yourself, I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. And so many things in this world are small stuff. Don't go there. You're bigger. You're greater. You're divine. You're infinite. Realize who you are. Realize what your time is. Realize what your energy is. I will not allow myself to be reduced into something so small and petty that now I am busy taking revenge over something that at the end of the day really does not matter. Ketzad hiyanekim. Let's give an example. Amalei chaveri hashileni kardumech. His friend tells him, can you lend me your hatchet, your axe? He says, no, I will not lend it to you. Tomorrow, the one who asked for the hatchet and was refused, tomorrow, the person who was asked to give the hatchet, he needs a hatchet. So he tells to the person who yesterday asked him for one, Hashileni kardumech, could you lend me? You know, yesterday you went and bought a hatchet. Can you lend it to me? Amalai, he says, Eini mashalch, I will not lend it to you. When I asked you to borrow it, you would not lend it to me. So I'm not going to lend it to you. Of course not. This is revenge. Ella, what's the alternative? The alternative is, when he comes and asks him to borrow the axe, yitim b'lev shalom, give it with a whole heart. Don't just give it with a whole heart. He should not reciprocate quid pro quo. You didn't give me, I won't give you. And any scenario that is similar to this, this is a form of revenge. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, David, who is an embodiment of fine characteristics, a person who becomes a manifestation of the proper temperament, a person who cultivated the right deis, the right perceptions and values and ethics by which to live. What does David say in Tehillim? Im gamalti shoyl mira v'achaltza tzoyri reikam. Have I ever reciprocated to those who did bad to me with evil? On the contrary, I have rescued those who distressed me for free. In other words, I did not owe it to them because they did the opposite to me. Halachiches. It's so interesting to see the Rambam's reason why not to take revenge. The Torah says lo yisik, but the Torah doesn't say a reason. But the Rambam gives us perspective. The Rambam says a Jew cannot afford to live a life of pettiness. You can't. You're too big. You're too grand. I cannot afford to become a small person and therefore take revenge for something that at the end of the day does not mean much. But for that, he says, you have to be a maven. You have to be understanding. You have to be discerning what's worth fighting for and what you have to say. Let it go. It's all good. It's all good. V'chein kol ha-noiter le'echad mi-Yisrael. Oiv ha-beloisis. What about something else? Somebody who harbors grudges against another Jew, he also violates a negative prohibition. This is not revenge. I'm just harboring a grudge. The same passage in Gedoshim says, don't harbor revenge, don't harbor resentment, grudges to the people, to the children of your nation. Ketzat, what's an example? Reuven shamal Shimon. Reuven tells Shimon, Scharli bayiza, ayashaleni sharza. Can you rent me this home? Or could you lend me this ox? Shimon refuses. Days later, Shimon, who refused Reuven, he now needs Reuven. He needs to borrow something or rent something. Reuven tells him, hey lecha, here, I'm giving it to you. Here, take this house to rent. Take this ox. I'm going to lend it to you. I'm not like you. I will not reciprocate your actions. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not like you who refuse to give it to me. Somebody who behaves this way violates the prohibition against harboring resentment and grudges. Ella, what should you do? What's the alternative? You should erase the story from your heart and do not contain it. Do not retain it in your heart. Don't guard it. Don't keep it there in your heart. Because here's the rule. As long as you harbor it in your chest and you remember it, it's fresh in your memory, there is strong concern that you're going to come to take revenge. In other words, even if it's repressed, but if it's there, it's going to come out. At some point, it's going to come out in one way or another way. The toxicity is going to emerge. Therefore, Torah is very cautious, and it warns us against harboring grudges. The Torah wants we should try to extricate this blemish, this wrongdoing from his heart completely and not remember it. This is the only way. When people cultivate this type of temperament, this is how the world can be civilized. Our environment could be stable, and people's interactions with each other, their business dealings, their relationships with each other can be established in a relaxed and serene way to create a calm, beautiful, and kind world. Because people are not perfect. And sometimes somebody is going to tell me, they don't want to do something for me. Are they right or they're wrong? It could be the other way, one way or another. If we are always going to pay back and there's always going to be revenge, and even if I don't take revenge, I'm going to harbor grudges, ultimately, we cannot create a beautiful environment and a stable civilization. This concludes the 7th chapter on Hilchos Deis of the Rambam. From here, the Rambam goes on to Hilchos Talmud Torah. There is a powerful point here. You did not lend me the hatchet. You did not lend me the ox. You did not rent me the house. What were your reasons? Whatever your reasons were. You were right. You were wrong. Maybe you don't trust me. Maybe you're afraid I'm going to ruin it. Maybe you're stingy. Maybe you're selfish. Maybe you're having anxiety. Maybe you're a control freak. Maybe you had terrible experiences with somebody else. Whatever your reasons are, you may be right for not lending it to me. You may be wrong. But you know what? It's none of my business. I don't get involved in revenge, and I don't start harboring grudges. The fact that you didn't lend it to me, maybe you're 100% right. Maybe you're 100% wrong. But it's actually not a sin. You're not mechuyev to lend something to somebody. It's a great mitzvah to help somebody. It's a mitzvah of chesed, a mitzvah of yisrael. But you're not obligated. It's not a sin. But by me harboring a grudge against you, that's a sin. By me taking revenge against you, that's a sin. What you did or did not do is your business. Now when I start internalizing it and it becomes my story, you didn't do it. I can't stand him. I'm not going to be like you. You're a horrible person, but I'm not going to be like you. Here it is. Or I take revenge or harbor a grudge. That the Torah is against. Because harboring frustration and resentment is like inhaling poison and hoping that the other person is going to be affected by your poison. Why is it my business? It's none of my business to live your life and have you live in my brain for 24 hours a day rent-free. It's none of my business. You did what you did. Figure it out. It's between you and God. I do not have to get involved. And when you ask me to lend you something, if I could lend it to you, I should lend it to you happily and wholesomely. I may not want to lend it to you because I don't trust you, because I think you're going to destroy it, because I think you're not going to give it back. That's fine. But if it's an act of revenge or an act where I continue to harbor a grudge, that is absolutely forbidden in the Torah.